bourbon, and beyond. A celebration of the spirit and soul of Kentucky. September 23rd and 24th in Louisville, the world's top bourbons, paired with celebrity chefs, Louisville's top restaurants, and iconic musicians, featuring the voice behind Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. Just like the wine we know. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Eddie Vedder. The Steve Miller Band. Also featuring Joe Bonamassa, Band of Horses, Gary Clark Jr., Amos Lee, Buddy Guy, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Chris Robinson Brotherhood, Paul Rogers. Celebrity chef appearances from Tom Colicchio. Over 20 of Louisville's top restaurants, curated by Chef Edward Lee. For the full list of artists, chefs, food, bourbons, and tickets, head to bourbonandbeyond.com. For our love of bourbon, for our love of Kentucky, Bourbon and Beyond. Get your tickets on sale now.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Brent Ryan Green. Brent is talking to us about his directorial debut and his newest film, The Veil. Brent, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing well. I'm super excited to talk to you about your film. It's awesome. This was a great way to come out swinging. I know that you've got many years' experience as a producer and doing some other behind-the-scenes things, but for directorial debut, this is awesome. And just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the film. What inspires you to do this film?
I mean, it kind of had a long genesis. You know, I'd worked on a movie when I was in college and caught the film bug, and through the process of going down and moving to Panama, working on a movie, working for a production company, doing documentaries, and starting my own production company, was all kind of moving towards wanting to do a narrative feature, of course, like everyone else. But it just took a lot of time and a lot of little steps to kind of feel like I was, you know, ready to do something on that scale, the capacity to raise the kind of funds it takes to do that. So, it was really, you know, without really knowing, a 10-year process. But when I started getting closer to wanting to direct something, I was reading a lot of scripts and trying to find something that would be perfect for me to direct. And I couldn't find anything that fit. Either it was, you know, someone had already bought the script, or the budget was too big, or it was in a setting that, maybe it was an overseas story and that was just too cost prohibitive. So we realized at that time, my producing partner, Jeff Goldberg, and I, that we'd have to develop something specifically for me to direct. And so that kind of started this process that turned into The Veil.
Man, that's awesome. I mean, the story, how it was birthed, it was a lot that went into it, but I mean, it's awesome, that your dream came to fruition. It's got to be a great feeling, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's been a long journey, and I've learned a lot, and it was so exciting to do, and I'm ready to take everything I learned and do it again. But it was a great experience, and doing with a lot of cool people too. So
that's awesome. What was the filming process like? I know that you're no stranger to filmmaking. Was it different, I guess, wearing the director's hat and just using your creativity and your skill set in a different way for this particular film?
A little bit, for sure. I had been directing shorts, so like as well as producing some other features, I directed 3 shorts over 3 years prior to this, and they were kind of these big budget 30-minute shorts. One was in Tokyo, one was in South Africa, and that kind of really prepared me, otherwise, I think it would have been too daunting, But between those 3 movies, they add up to almost a movie. Actually, add up to more than a movie themselves. So that's what kind of, it's a first feature for me. But I've been directing for the last 5 years and working towards this. So that was kind of how I got the cast and the crew and the financiers to believe in a first time feature director was that I'd technically already done a feature if you added up the 3 shorts I did, and then. Filming had its own challenges because we shot in Oklahoma, which is where my home state, where I'm from. And so we really developed the film based on some really cool locations that Oklahoma has. I mean, Oklahoma is known for being flat and having tornadoes and being a lot of red dirt. But there's a couple pockets and state parks with some really cool, like, awesome locations. So we use that as inspiration and develop the film for those locations. And that being said, the shoot was 25 days and 23 of them were outside. And we started in October. We finished the day before Thanksgiving, and we had sunshine, we had rain, we had snow. So it was a grueling process, but definitely some of the most fun I've ever had, for sure.
Man, that's wow. That is awesome. Tell me what you enjoyed most about creating this film. I mean, I know that there was a lot of setbacks along the way, and, you know, even with the filming itself, you know, that I'm sure you had some pretty daunting days. But I guess, what is your fondest memory or your fondest moment about creating this film?
I mean, the best part for sure was just during the actual production, you know. I mean, it takes a lot of organizing and effort and writing and stuff in the pre-production process. But when you get on set, everybody's, you know, like, working together, trying to jam out as much as you can in the 12 hours. And, you know, they're there because they want to be, you know, they're getting paid, but maybe not the rate they make on a typical commercial or something. But just having, you know, that core group. I mean, the crew got up probably to about 100, maybe 130, 50 with the extras. But, you know, like, a core group of probably, you know, 20, 30, 40 people that are there every day for, you know, 25 shooting days in a row, you know, trying to get this thing done. Like, that's the best part for sure. You know, so many fond memories and good times. So.
Absolutely. I want to transition just a little bit briefly, but you also had a big part in the film Silence, and that was a really like an amazing film. And it, you know, as you know, it deals a lot with religion, spirituality, and, you know, basically martyrdom. Tell me a little bit about, I know it's a little bit of a digression from this film, but what made you work on Silence? What drew you to that film, to that script?
Yeah, well, I had a small role, a role in that. With all Scorsese pictures, everyone else is playing a small role. But it was just, you know, I mean, the story was this incredible story, and that it was a passion project of his that he tried to tell for 30 years, and just, you know, so much of just him trying to make it, and in the kind of complicated, interesting story that it is that I like to tell. It was a no-brainer when I had the opportunity through one of the financiers who kind of brought me on to help advise them on the process. It was a no-brainer. And then just being able to be on set in Taiwan when they shot, you know, that was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that there was no way I was passing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that this is kind of a stretch, but how would you describe yourself? Would you say that you are a spiritual person or not spiritual? Did this film, did it do anything for you spiritually?
Silence?
Yes,
specifically?
Sir.
Yes, I mean, I'm definitely a spiritual person. Silence is this an interesting look at, you know, at faith, at spirituality, and kind of poses this question: can you kind of keep this small faith going, you know, in midst of, you know, the persecution? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the movie's out, the book's been out a while, but it kind of asks this question: do you want to die for your faith, or even worse, have someone else die for your faith? Or can
right.
you keep it quiet and keep it living? Otherwise, they're just all going to be killed, you know, murdered out, you know. So it's either lose their religion or keep it quiet and let it progress. That's like a really complicated question that really can't be answered, and that the film just only begins to propose. So, you know, I think too many people like to look at things in black and white, and I love this movie because it looks at spirituality in kind of the gray areas, which is what happens more in real life. You know, it's just not so black and white all the time. So it's an incredible story and definitely impacted my life for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to transition again. You're actually, in addition to being, you know, an incredible filmmaker, you also are a husband and a father. Tell me what it's like. Is it tough, I guess, juggling, you know, wearing multiple roles? I mean, because, of course, your family comes first, but would you say it's arduous, you know, having to juggle your career with your family life?
Well, nothing ever seems to be easy, but, you know, it's definitely a somewhat of a struggle. My wife's amazing. She's so supportive. We actually got married right before the veil. Like, I proposed, and it was like either we need to get married, like, a little bit, you know, sooner than maybe we would like, or we need to wait till after the veil, because once the veil happens, it's going to, like, consume my life. So we were like, let's just get married quickly. So, we got married quick. So we were together, you know, we got married, and then we went and did the veil, and obviously being in Oklahoma, I was able to stay home for half of it, and half of it we did, like, on the road shooting locations, and she came out to set, so supportive. And then, you know, I just have a baby. She's a year old, so she dominates my life. But it just, I think, if anything, it just makes you more focused. You got to get more done with less time. There's less, you know, dilly-dallying, and you get to the point quicker. But, you know, my wife is my support system for sure. So without her, I'd probably be lost anyway. So it's great, you know. But you got to prioritize, and you got to make the most of these short days.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say is, I guess, the biggest misconception about what you do? I know that people that, you know, family members, friends, they may not know, you know, the ins and outs of filmmaking. But, of course, being that it's your career, you know, of course, you know things that, you know, the average person wouldn't. But what would you say is the biggest misconception that you've, I guess, encountered as being, you know, a filmmaker?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just kind of like the glamorous side of it, you know, the Hollywood side, the premieres, you know. Maybe it looks fun. You have a photo with a celebrity or an actor or something. But I think probably just the misconception, or maybe not the misconception, or what just people don't know about, is just how much hard work goes into it. You know, they don't, you know, they see – you know, a special effects movie, they don't realize that actor probably sat in the makeup chair for 6 hours, and the travel, the commitment, and the time it took to do stuff. So I just, you know, people shoot stuff with their iPhones and think it's maybe as simple as that, but maybe the people that don't understand the time and attention to detail that goes into every little thing. And I had someone ask, hey, you know, do you just, you know, do you make stuff up on set? I'm like, no, you never make stuff up on set, because, you know, I had to get, you know, 30 actors there. I had to get a whole crew there, had to get them fed. They had to have a scene built. The stage had to be built. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, there's ad-libbing and people making up lines, of course. But as far as, like, making up things to shoot, like, on the day, like, no, these things are planned months in advance with this many people working on it. So I think seeing, like, you know, if you watch, like, the behind the scenes of a Lord of the Rings type thing, which is what I watched that got me interested in going to work on a movie. Seeing that process, that kind of shows you how much goes into it, which is just something you wouldn't need to know or even know unless you were kind of in the business. So, you know, that part goes unnoticed, and you just see the red carpet and the Cannes Film Festival and some of those flashy things, but it's rarely that.
Absolutely, yeah, I'll have to agree with you on that one. what is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your films and the work that you do? I know that this is, you know, filmmaking is something that you are extremely passionate about, and I know that, you know, it hasn't been an easy road, you know, up until this point, but, you know, you've persevered and prevailed, you know, regardless. What would you say is, like, the biggest thing that you want people to take away from the work that you do?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I want people to take away is the biggest thing that I want out of these, which is first and foremost to be entertained. So if there's not some sort of entertainment level there, it just doesn't connect, you know. And I was working in documentaries, you know, and there's some very entertaining documentaries that I love, but there's some that, you know, some of the ones I was working on maybe just not as entertained. So I think first and foremost, entertained. And then secondly, if we can, you know, stir some emotion, stir some thought, you know. Story is a great way to empathize with a culture or people, or, you know, story. A great way to connect with something that's kind of like maybe you wouldn't normally come across in your daily life, whether, you know, a big fantasy movie or something like that. But I think a good movie will entertain you first. Secondly, you know, it draws you in with some kind of motion. And then hopefully third, the best movies, and they change you a little bit, you know what I mean, or inspire you and kind of can give you a new way of thinking or a new outlook. You know, not in my life, the movies aren't going to change your life, but I think if it can inspire you and turn you on to something new, then it's done its job.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, what inspires you? I know that, you know, everybody's got different inspiration, whether it be, you know, a certain filmmaker or a certain film or a certain song or a group or an artist. But you yourself, what would you say inspires you to be creative and to do what you do?
For me, most of my creation comes from things that are visual. I'm a super visual person, and that's why I gravitated towards film. So, you know, whether it be architecture, interior design, you know, things I see, other movies, you know, just visual things, you know, and good design. That really gets me going and gets me excited.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Tell me, where can our listening audience see The Veil? Is it available for VOD? Is it in select theaters? Where can I watch it?
Yeah, the film comes out this Friday, August 11th, in 10 or 11 theaters, including Oklahoma, where the movie is filmed. I always make sure that wherever we film the movie, we show it there at least first or at the same time everyone else. New York, L.A., and a few other select cities, all through AMC, so that's great. And then if you're not in one of those locations, it's available on, like, all VOD platforms, you know, your through your cable or obviously one more popular, iTunes. I saw the pre-order just went up today, so you can pre-order it and then today and then watch it on Friday.
Awesome, awesome. And what one word would you use to describe this film for somebody that's listening to this interview that's on the fence about seeing the film? How would you describe it?
Layered. That's what I could come up with. There's a couple layers to this film. I think there's the A plot layer, which is just kind of hopefully that normal entertaining story that we talk about, and then there's, you know, something deeper there that we were, you know, trying to kind of communicate in themes there. You know, so hopefully people get it. If they don't, they can still enjoy the A plot of the movie. And, you know, that was our ambition. And with this, you know, small budget, you know, hopefully we pulled it off. Maybe we didn't, but we'll keep trying until we do.
I love it. I love it. Brent, thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for coming on today's show. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, I just hope people, you know, check out the film. It's hopefully a first of many features, and yeah, check it out this Friday. And thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. No problem. And Brent, I forgot to ask, where can our listening audience find out more about you and your production company and upcoming films that you have?
Sure. So I'm on, you know, all the usual social media platforms. Just my full name, Brent Ryan Green, is my handle on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And then my production company is called Toy Gun Films. So, you know, on Instagram and Twitter, we usually, you know, I don't post very much, but we just keep you up to date. Like, you know, if you go on my Instagram, you can find like a link to the pre-download, and then you can also find the list of theaters and things like that. So that's the best way to stay in touch.
Very nice, very nice. Thank you so much, Brent. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right, you as well.
All right, bye.
Guys, that was Brent Ryan Green. He's a film director. His newest movie, The Veil, comes out this Friday, August the 11th. Make sure to check it out. It will be seen at AMC Theaters as well as video on demand. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device if you've got an Apple product of any kind. Listen to us by going to the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Brett. We're also available for Android users. If you've got an Android phone or Android device, go to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. Lastly, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku television or a Roku Smart TV, You can listen to us and watch our show live in the privacy of your own home. We've got over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name, and once you search for us, download the app, and you can begin watching.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.